week we looked at the Christmas message
through the eyes of a teenager, Mary. And today we're taking a look at Christmas through the eyes of Simeon and his perspective, an elderly male. Dear friends, it is the little things, the little habits that really count and make a difference. But isn't it true that it's oftentimes those big events that take up all the publicity, the big things that we do, that we announce and proclaim to others? You know, we're in the season of receiving Christmas cards and New Year's greetings letters. If you're like us, we get a whole bunch. And it's interesting when you read those to find out what happens in families. Oftentimes, what's mentioned in those letters are the big things that happen. Perhaps on the Christmas card, there's the picture of the trip down to Disneyland where everyone is together. Or a picture of the family reunion over July 4th at the cabin. That's a big event. Or the gathering of everyone for someone's graduation in the family. Those are the things to shout out and proclaim in our Christmas greeting cards, in our New Year's letters that we send out. Not a lot of people mention the little things that really make us tick, that really make us into the people that we become. Let me give you some examples. In all the Christmas letters that I've read in the last couple weeks, no one has mentioned that they intentionally took time to develop the relationships in their life. That's not something you announce. No one mentioned that they made a habit of going to bed on time in the last year. No one mentioned that. No one mentions doing little things to develop patience and good virtues for their life. There's a reason why we don't mention those things. You see, it's the big things that we want to share, the big things that we want to proclaim. This morning, we're really focusing on the little things, the little habits that we form and make. Can they make a difference? Are they really all that important? Well, I'm going to say, actually, in Luke chapter 2, our text here, with the presentation of Simeon, we see a man where the little things, the little habits that he made, made a huge difference. Simeon, throughout church history, you should know him just right off the bat. Simeon is an important character. We have an entire part of the liturgy in the Lutheran church based off this man. It occurs right after Holy Communion. We don't sing it here at Peace, but you may recall this growing up. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. That's the first two Latin words, Lord, now, let your servant depart in peace. This is based on Simeon, the guy that we're reading about here in Luke chapter 2. He has had a voice in almost every church service since the first century. It's the little things that mattered for this man. Two things I just want to highlight here. It says here in the text, when describing this man, that makes him an example for us. First off, he's righteous. Righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? Well, here's probably the closest definition of what it means to be righteous. It means not living by what you think is right, but living by a higher law, God's law. Someone who is righteous, dikaios in the Greek, is someone who doesn't just go by what their heart says. They search out God's law, and they live by his law, the little things of the law. Someone who is righteous is someone that takes care of their parents. That's the fourth commandment. Sorry, kids, that's right there. That's the fourth commandment. Someone that is righteous, the fifth commandment is someone who protects all life. All life. That's the fifth commandment. Someone that is righteous is someone that takes care of their family members and relationships. That's the sixth commandment. Someone that is righteous is someone who doesn't steal from others but protects others' income. And puts a hedge around it so that their income is protected. That's the seventh commandment. Someone that is righteous is someone that doesn't gossip. They don't covet what other people have. It's the little things that make us and shape us who we are. That's Simeon. He's righteous. You know, when others were sitting around in Jerusalem and they were thinking about committees to join and who they want to represent their community, people would raise their hand and say, "I want Simeon." Not because he went on any big adventures, not because he did any big events, but man, he had the little things nailed down right. righteous. There's another word there, did you catch it, that describes him. That is this, he's called devout, oilabase in the Greek. Oilabase, what is that? Well, what we think that means is that this was a man who his public perception, how people viewed him, matched his private doings, what he did behind the scenes. In fact, what he did privately exceeded even how he was seen in the public. Wow. Another way to translate this word is pious. When I say pious, many people think, ooh, I don't want to hang out with that kind of person. Pious is very positive in the Bible. Oilabase. What pious means is that you don't preach to others what they should do. You don't give advice and wisdom to others, but you hold yourself privately to very high expectations and high standards behind the scenes. So here's what I think the gospel's telling us with Simeon. The Old Testament prescribed that offerings should take place. Simeon did that, but he went way beyond that. He showed up at the temple and went way beyond the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law said that you should hear God's word. Simeon, as a devout person, would have heard God's word at the church, but at the temple, but he would go beyond that. This is a man with little habits that shaped him, formed him over many, many years. An elderly man. Now, I'm willing to say that Simeon's Christmas card is probably not the most exciting. Do any of you get excited if someone said, boy, this year I was righteous and devout? Not all that exciting. But here's the thing. Habits, little things, set us up to do excellent things and for excellent things to happen to us. Habits. I was taught this perhaps the first time in the golf instructions that I received. I had a free class to take to get my degree in college at Gonzaga. I'm going to take golf lessons. It's something I can learn for the rest of my life. And so not having played golf, I figured the best way to do this would be to grip the golf club really tight and have a huge backswing and hit the ball as hard as I could. The problem was the ball would go down quite a ways, but then would hook all the time, or slice off into the woods. And so I thought to myself, well, I need to grip it harder, and I need to have a bigger backswing and follow through even more. And the ball would go even further into the woods. The instructor came to me and just said some simple words. The reason why you have a bad outcome, Jeremy, is you have bad habits. He said, you need to get some good habits. And so he changed my chin where it was located. He turned my wrists in a little bit. He positioned the ball towards my back right foot. It felt terrible, and I wanted to go back to my bad habits. But the ball went straight. And after time, what I realized was, if I get some good habits, the chances of something excellent happening in my life, or excellent happening in my golf game, it went way up, went potentially higher. Simeon is someone who set good habits. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, something excellent does happen to him. Good habits do that. Simeon, I imagine, would go down to the temple. And on many days, it was the same old people down at the temple. There was the guy, the Pharisee with the long robe. He knew that guy. And there was the crippled and lame people outside the temple. Many times when Simeon went to the temple, there was nothing all that inspiring or exciting. There were days where he walked away, even from the temple, disappointed. But here's the thing. Simeon stuck with the habit. And then one day, he entered the temple. And there appeared Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And in the song he says, boy, I've experienced it all. I can depart in peace. I've lived my life, God. I can go on. It's because he stuck with his habit. The Holy Spirit was in his heart. And isn't that the way God works in our life? You know, there's lots of habits we do in our spiritual walk. And as we enter into this new year, I'm going to ask you to continue those habits. Now, not every time do you come to church, you walk away and say, man, Pastor Lucky really hit a home run. That's not going to happen every Sunday. May not happen often. I don't know. It may be the case that, man, I wasn't all that inspired at church this Sunday. I don't know what's going on. Stick with the habit, because there may be one Sunday that Jesus appears to you in a word spoken by someone here at this church, in a conversation out here. Maybe it's when you put your hand out and you see the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus' presence is there. The habit can truly make a difference. And in my life, and this is just my opinion, what influences other people are not the big events or happenings. It's when another person sees a habit that someone has. When I was living in South Florida, my next door neighbor, he was actually Jewish. And he knew that I was a pastor. And he saw the books that were on the table. He looked me up online. Wow, he really is a pastor. I'm living next to a pastor. He studied what the Lutheran Church taught about. He knew all those things. See, he had all the head knowledge. All the information was right there in his mind. He was very sharp. And none of it really made a difference. Got to be honest with you. Just telling him I was a pastor really didn't move him at all. But then New Year's Eve came. And he noticed that my car was not out in front of my apartment. And then he drove down the boulevard and past the church. And he saw my car on New Year's Eve out in front of the church. That little thing changed him. He saw a habit. Why weren't you out partying like everyone else? Why weren't you with your family or out vacationing or whatever you do? I said, it's my habit to spend New Year's Eve praying about the new year that's coming. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't head knowledge. It wasn't correct doctrine. But what it was he saw a habit, and also a relationship too, but he saw a habit. So there we have it, the big things here at Peace. We've gone through one of them, Christmas Eve, how exciting it is. Easter's always exciting with the Easter baskets and the eggs that are out there. But it's not that. It's not that. I really believe it's when someone in the community sees a habit in your life. That's what sparks something special. That habit shaped by the Holy Spirit, I should say. So let it be said of us this next year. It may not be the most exciting Christmas card greetings, but let it be said of us that we were righteous and devout, and we did the little things well. Amen.